Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. We are doing Ty Davis Price, LSU running back. He just finished ahead like the last pro day, so I've been like waiting on him, trying to wrap up the running back position. I do like Breece Hall and a roundup, and I was like waiting for the LSU one to do so I could post this. Nothing super notable happened at it. He broad jumped 8.8. I don't think that's right, and he jumped like a foot longer at the combine, so I'm not super worried about that. He did up the, because it doesn't make, that I don't know, that number doesn't make a whole lot of sense because he did vert 35 and a half. So his jump basically got almost a half a foot better. His vert did anyways. So that I don't know what to make of that broad jump thing. So I'm just taking the best of what he had. He did come in a full 8 pounds heavier as well. So that's notable. He came in at 219. So good stuff there. 6 foot, 211 at the combine, 219 at his pro day, 448 was his 40 time, vert 30, again up to 35. That was a 4% outcome, excuse me. Now that you bring him up to 35.5, he's looking much more representative, right? You increase by basically a half a foot. He jumps from like 4 or 5 percentile all the way up to 61st. So that looks good. And then at 211, right? If he didn't run the 40 at 219, so just take for what that's worth. But that's, you're starting to look, up in the top 15 percentile or so. If he's 11 pounds heavier and maintains the same weight, I'm not giving him that, but it bears mentioning. So speed score 104 as it was, pretty good. 72nd percentile, BMI 28. So checking that box there. You look at some of the next gen stuff, NFL.com. Has him as a 6.16 grade. Good backup with potential to develop into a starter is that metric. The next gen stuff is below average at 52. He's one of the worst running backs we've had in terms of some of that stuff. I think the next gen stuff, and I'd love to like listen to more about the next gen projection stuff, because I think it's really interesting. And I don't know if they're incorporating like tracking data and stuff into that as well, because that'd be pretty awesome. But I think they're using a lot of production stuff. So like career 379 carries, not great. 28 catches in 35 games. Again, that's below. That's below a catch a game. Not great. Yards per route run 0.48. That's 8th percentile. 9.6% of his routes he's targeted on, that's 9th percentile. So not really a receiving threat. In college, broke a tackle once every 5.7 carries. That is 35th percentile. 2.82 yards after contact, that's 29th percentile, and 25.6% of his yards were explosive, that is 13th percentile. Not a huge ceiling there in terms of some of the production stuff, almost an entirely non-producer in college. 184th in PFF grade in 2021, 168th in elusiveness in 2021. Limited production. And it's interesting, you start looking at some scouting reports and maybe it'll tell you why. Matt Waldman, quote, whispers about effort and maturity. So that's not great there in terms of that. That you need to see basically some more improvement there in his, some of the technique stuff. Because he has made some natural skills. But he has not harnessed them yet, so we'll see, right? He could be a quick flame out in the NFL, like a late day three guy who just doesn't get it together in camp and just doesn't see any time. But he has the talent and I think the movement skills to, right? What I really like about him is the movement skills. And right, it just hasn't really, he hasn't produced with the movement skills, but you don't see, it's not a super common, I feel his movement skills aren't super, super common. So that's really the thought there with him. Waldman catching the ball well and fundamentally sound technique is, that sticks out given the fact that it's a very limited sample size. Lance Zierlein, premium combination of size and athletic talent, accelerates and cuts like a smaller back, runs with excellent bend, below average feel for blocking and slams into a lineman's back on a regular basis, right? So again, there's a lot there that I think is to like. It's a question of, is he going to harness it, right? And that's really the big thing with Ty Davis Price that has me questioning him, right? It seems like a lot of smoke is pointing to that maybe he just doesn't, quote, get it. That's and the stats would point to that too, right? The stats would point in the direction of like, hey, he just hasn't really done a whole heck of a lot. Why is that, right? Why has he only earned 379 carries in college? Like, that's not what you're looking for. Less than a catch per game, none of that's what you're looking for. However, when you watch him, he moves in ways that you're like, wow, that he is moving in a better way than you would otherwise expect. So that's really the draw for him. Again, I think he's going to be probably like firmly on day three. He might be a UDFA, and he might flunk out of the NFL and by August. But I'm interested just because you know, this is one of the things, and we were, you know, I did a video on Kadarius Toney, and I'm constantly in search of guys that can break things from super cheap, right? Like, how do you really punch above your weight? And it's having, at your cost, rare or uncommon traits. And that's the thing that I like about, that I like about some of these guys, and especially like Toney has a rare trait for his cost, right? The brief production window that he has had, it's been super duper elite in a very limited sample size, like very limited, almost embarrassingly limited sample size. He's been excellent. Ty Davis Price is similar to me in that way, right? Again, I'm fine if it's a fourth round, fourth round pick, something like that, and he goes on day three and you take a swing and he flunks out, because listen, it opens up a roster spot. It's okay to swing and miss. However, if things were sort of to come together for him, he has the type of physical skill set. He has the type of movement, the body, the frame. You know, he tests well enough, all those things to capitalize on a situation, right? You're not drawing dead with him where you are with some other guys, where you are drawing dead on in terms of just the upside that they would present. If, you know, I think back to a guy like Corey Clement, and I like Corey Clement for what he did ultimately, and he stuck around for longer than I ever thought he would, but he just didn't have the physical traits or the physical tools to really like capitalize on him getting into a situation, right? Maybe part of him getting in that situation is the maturity and sort of the work ethic and all that. I understand all that. That's probably, he had probably more of that than he did the physical tools, and that's how he got to where he got. But when you look at a guy like Ty Davis Price, I think that there is room for him, you know, from that range. He's basically a bimodal outcome, which is honestly what I want from deep. I want you to either be bad, and I know that early, you don't make a team, right? You get cut, right? You're late day three, or you're a UDFA, and you don't make the 53-man roster. Great, that's good to know. Move it on. You do make it, you start showing a little something, and hey, listen, you know this is a situation where you get it. You're a backup, right? You know, you're a third, you know, you're contributing on special teams or whatever, but you're making the roster, and all of a sudden maybe you're an injury away from being relevant, right? Those are the types of guys that we're looking for. So he's existing in that space. For me, again, I think there's a very realistic possibility that this is the last time we spend any real time or attention on him. But I do think that there's some movement skills there that, if harnessed and put together, could have him punching above his weight. So, well, that'll do it for Ty Davis Price. And until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.